James Yarko, who covers the team for Bucks Nation, deputy editor, also co-host of the Locked On Bucks podcast, is joining us today as we continue every day. We're previewing a different NFL team getting set for the season. James, thanks so much for joining the show today.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Happy to be on. Excited to talk some Buccaneers with you.
Yeah, so let's get to, and I appreciate it, let's get this out of the way. I look at this as kind of a nothing burger, just because of Brady's career and professionalism and everything else. But I'm curious just what you're hearing. You're closer to it all than myself.
Yeah, I mean, a couple of things can be true at the same time, right? So Tom Brady, you know, year number 23, he doesn't need the preseason. He wasn't going to be playing in the preseason games. He was there for the first couple weeks of training camp, starting to get a rapport with some of the new guys like Julio, Kyle Rudolph, you know, the rookie running back Rashad White, and then he leaves for personal matters. But at the same time, this is not a normal situation, and if it was anybody other than Tom Brady, I think there would be alarm bells and red flags going off everywhere. But, you know, it's just one of those situations. We'll probably get some clarity later on as to why there's an absence, and there's starting to be a crazy theory going viral on social media that while he was retired and, you know, signed his deal to be the lead color commentator on Fox, part of that was that he was going to go film The Masked Singer. It just so happens that The Masked Singer is filming right now, and it just happens to coincide with Brady's absence. So it's a fun little theory, and I apologize. I don't know the Reddit user that did this deep dive, but it's, you know, it's something fun to kind of talk about. But, you know, it could be something as simple as he and Giselle made plans with the kids while he was retired, and when he came back, she flat out said, "You're not breaking these plans because you decided to unretire." So
yeah,
we'll get clarity down the road, but I don't see it as, you know, being a reason why all of a sudden the Bucks are not going to be contenders, or a reason that they could potentially lose week one to the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, and I think if any player deserves the benefit of the doubt, it's the guy who last year at that age led the NFL in pass attempts, passing yards, and passing touchdowns. Speaking of which, of the offense, and I would imagine that the best case scenario for Tampa would be if Tom Brady did not lead the NFL in passing attempts again.
Yeah, probably not. You know, they're going to lean pretty heavy on Leonard Fournette again, and Todd Bowles has been pretty open about the fact that he wants to run the ball a little bit more. And when you have a guy like Leonard Fournette, you know, there's no reason not to. And I'll tell you what, Rashad White, you know, the rookie out of Arizona State, has looked absolutely fantastic throughout training camp. You have Giovanni Bernard, who looks phenomenal, and then Keyshawn Vaughn, who we saw flashes from last year because of injuries to Leonard Fournette and Gio Bernard. You know, he's still developing, and, you know, like I said, we've seen flashes from him in regular season action. He looks good in camp as well. So the Buccaneers have a really reliable stable of running backs, you know, led by Fournette. But, you know, if you can limit Brady's passes a little bit, it's obviously going to pay dividends come the postseason.
More likely to happen, Tom Brady wins. Which was it again? The Masked Singer. More likely to happen, Tom Brady wins The Masked Singer, or Rob Gronkowski comes out of retirement?
I'm going to go with Gronk comes out of retirement on that one. I don't know if Brady can sing, to be honest. I would doubt it a little bit, but, you know, that's going to be something that's going to come up again. And I know Gronk has remained pretty steadfast that he's done. He's throwing a week one watch party in celebration of his retirement. But, you know, if the Buccaneers are heading into the postseason and they're sitting there at, you know, 9-5 or 9-6 and trying to make that final push, maybe Brady makes a phone call and says, "Look, you know, this is my last ride. I need you with me. Come be a difference maker in the postseason, and let's go win one more Lombardi together."
From a betting perspective, they are tied with the Buffalo Bills for projected win totals at 11.5. Buffalo is the only team with shorter odds to win the Super Bowl. Tampa Bay's going in at +750. I think it's fair to say that Tampa is clearly the class of the NFC. If I throw out James, their one Achilles heel is the offensive line. Would that be a fair statement?
I think so. I'm not sure if I'm going to call them an Achilles heel. I call them more of a question mark. You had Ryan Jensen go down on the second day of training camp practice, but Robert Hainsey out of Notre Dame, you know, he's learning a new position at center. He was a guard at Notre Dame, and he has looked really, really, really good. But at the same time, you're replacing an all-pro center in Ryan Jensen. You're replacing an all-pro caliber guard in Ali Marpet, who retired. You had Alex Kappa, who signed with the Cincinnati Bengals. And, you know, kind of the knock on Brady, if you're going to find a weakness there, is pressure up the middle. And you're having to replace the entire interior of that offensive line. And, you know, Luke Getteke, he's a second-round pick for the Buccaneers this year. He's starting to get some first-team reps. Aaron Stinney started for them at guard in the Super Bowl when they beat the Kansas City Chiefs because Alex Kappa was injured. He's, you know, a starting caliber guard. They made the trade for Shaq Mason. So, you know, they have some really solid players there along the offensive line. It's just a matter of how long is it going to take them to find the combination that they like, and you can just hold up and gel quick enough that Brady's not going to be pressured up the middle early and often.
And by the way, I think you would say that most quarterbacks, you pressure them up the middle, and you know their production's always going to go down. James Yarko is joining us, deputy editor for Bucs Nation, co-host of the Locked On Bucs podcast. All right, on the defensive side, it feels like there. If I was going to do an oversimplification, it would be a youth movement on the defensive line, an elite secondary, and killer linebackers in Devin White and Levante David. What am I missing?
Absolutely nothing. You know, it was a pleasant surprise, I think, that Carlton Davis re-signed with them. He was expected to get major, major money on the free agent market. He takes a little bit of a hometown discount to stay, and he's clearly the number one corner on this team. You have Jamel Dean and Sean Murphy Bunting kind of fighting for that number two spot. Sean Murphy Bunting coming off of a disappointing season. A lot of that, I feel, can be attributed to that week one injury that he suffered. Once he returned, he was never quite himself. So he's had a full off season. He's healthy again. He's looking good. They have another rookie, Zion McCollum, who is, he's long, he's athletic, he's quick, he's highly intelligent. I spoke to Antoine Winfield Jr. last week, and he's really excited about how well Zion fits in on this team once he really gets a grasp of the NFL game. So you also have the additions now of Logan Ryan and Keanu Neal at safety to join Winfield and Mike Edwards and find someone who loves you the way Todd Bowles loves safeties, right? And these guys are going to be just all over the field. You know, I look at Logan Ryan almost as that Swiss Army knife.
Yeah.
He can line up at slot corner. He can blitz from the outside. He can blitz from the inside. He can drop back deep. So you never really know where the pressure is going to come from, who's going to be the guy to come and take care of business, because we know Antoine Winfield can get out after the quarterback. You know, and then you have, of course, Devin White, Levante David there in the middle, freeing up, you know, lanes for these safeties, and the addition of Carl Nassib on the outside now as a depth piece behind Shaq Barrett and Joe Tryon Shoyinka. You know, this defense has the potential, like they did last year, to be really, really good, but they just suffered so many injuries throughout the year that it really hampered their ability to, you know, be that defense that we saw in the playoff run and in the Super Bowl. They didn't have their full starting defense until the first playoff game against the Philadelphia Eagles. So, you know, they have to stay healthy, obviously, and you could say that about any team. This team, there's such a drop-off at times when you have these starting corners going down and you try to bring in Richard Sherman and, you know, three days later after pulling him off the street, you throw him on the field. It just, there was no cohesion. And so you look for the health, and, you know, this Buccaneers defense has the talent to be a top three unit in NFL.
From a fantasy perspective, everyone knows, take Mike Evans. 8 straight years of 1,000 yards or more receiving. I think one of the more underrated skill guys in the league. But I throw out words like Chris Godwin and Julio Jones. Your feelings from a fantasy perspective with those two individuals?
It looks like Chris Godwin, he may not give you a ton of fantasy production the first couple weeks, but he is out there working. He was doing individual drills last week when the Dolphins were, at the facility for the joint practices. Then the Bucs go to Nashville, and all of a sudden Chris Godwin is now getting involved in the 7-on-7s. So he's progressing really, really well. As far as Julio Jones is concerned, for the first time in a few years, he looks legitimately healthy. Julio Jones is going to be a problem, and it's not just going to be in the red zone. He is a guy that is going to be a possession receiver. He is going to be a target on third down, and it's going to put the Buccaneers in a favorable situation where the defense has to figure out who they're going to cover. Because if you're going to line up your third best corner on Julio Jones, you're going to lose. But you're also going to lose if you line that corner up on Godwin or Evans. So there may not be a ton of consistency as far as, if you draft Mike Evans, that's going to be great. He's set personal records for touchdowns in a season back-to-back years now with Tom Brady, and you're going to get 1,000 out of him. But there were also times where over a 3-game stretch, he had 4 catches for, I think it was 3 yards and 3 touchdowns. So, you're not going to get a ton of volume. Some weeks it's going to be a Mike Evans week. Some weeks it's going to be a Godwin week. Some weeks it's going to be a Julio week. And then you still, of course, have Scotty Miller, Tyler Johnson, who has looked fantastic. They have probably 4 or 5 receivers now that they're going to cut that are going to end up on NFL rosters because that group has just been so impressive.
Man, that makes me a little bit nervous. It says basically say draft Brady. Also, I'd be nervous about the running backs. As you mentioned, there seems to be 4 viable options, and now we're getting I'm getting PTSD of when Tom Brady was with New England. James, I'll leave you with this question. It's a high number, 11.5. Would you take the over or under for 11.5 for regular season wins for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
That is a really tough number. Right now, I lean over just a little bit. I think this is probably going to be a 12-win team. They might be able to get to 13, but they have a very, very rough stretch to open the season. Things ease up a little bit. Of course, you also have to remember they get 2 against the Panthers, 2 against the Falcons. You can pretty much sharpie all 4 of those games into the win column. So you're really just looking for 8 more wins, and I think the Buccaneers are going to be able to do that. They get the Cleveland Browns the game before Deshaun Watson returns, so they're going to see, at best, Jacoby Brissett. They get a Steelers team that you don't really know what they're about quite yet. The Bengals are going to be tough, but that's at home. Baltimore, of course, is going to be tough. So I take the over, but it's real close.
Yeah, oh no, I agree. Thankfully, I got a little more time before I got to figure that out. James, really appreciate it. People want to check out your work, your content. Where'd they go find you?
Yeah, I'm the deputy editor of BucksNation.com. I'm co-host of the Locked On Bucks podcast, which is available on all podcast catchers as well as YouTube. And we have daily content Monday through Friday and the occasional bonus episodes thrown in. So at least 5 episodes a week, every week, over at Locked On Bucks. And for those that want to follow on Twitter, it's at @JYarko_Bucks.
James, really appreciate. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the season. Hopefully we can chat with you during the year.
Yeah, it was my pleasure. Look forward to talking to you again soon.